The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Okay, so I was going to start the show with a song, and then I thought, nah, we've done that. We've done that over and over again, and it never helps. So maybe we should start with a commercial?
The following is a paid public service announcement from the International Rifle Association.
Let's face it, most of us will never be rich. Hell, we probably won't even be successful, and that's pretty damn depressing. But, as usual, with every problem, there is a solution. Hi, I'm Jim, and I'm here to tell you a little something about handguns. They scare the shit out of people and intimidate them into giving you whatever you want. That's right, handguns. Think about it. Need some cash? Rob a bank. Don't have enough money for beer? Pull up a convenience store. Take some chips and pretzels while you're at it. It's all free if you've got a handgun. Some son of a bitch cheating on your girlfriend? Kill him. It's a simple solution to life's complex problems. All you have to do is wait the 5 days for it, and happiness is just around the corner. Hell, if you don't want to wait the 5 days, who cares? Buy the damn thing off the street.
All right,
just buy
so
a lot
hold
of
on.
Handguns.
We got no
it's
audio.
A great alternative to working problems out.
No, there's audio now?
Controller.
Okay.
Yes, handguns. They
is
just
there
might
sound?
Make
you do have sound.
Your wife. We'll go to the convention hall where a license and a gun is easy to buy.
That's right.
NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time.
We'll go buy a gun, throw it in the trunk, pop a top of suds, get good and drunk. Alright. In a mall or a town where there's people all around, you just open up and mow them down. That's right.
Know why?
NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time. Come on, everybody, exercise your right. Then you can be playing God, playing God, playing God, playing God, playing God, playing God, take the human life.
Go teach your son how to use a gun. Show him some down-home Christian fun. That's right. Praise the Lord. Then you pack it in his lunch so when things get rough, he can leave everybody in a pool of blood. All right.
All right.
Your son can shoot like a man because
NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time.
Yeehaw. Yeehaw.
NRA says everything's fine. Get yourself a gun and have a good time.
We having fun yet? Yeah, I didn't think so. It's now. Oh, hold on. What is going on? We're having audio issues. Hold on 1 second. Okay, now it's working. Wow, the gremlin. I guess you know this is what I get for taking a day off yesterday. We should be working now. It was weird. I signed on the air. My Zoom interface wasn't working. You guys said you didn't have any audio, you didn't have any video, but I think we're here now. And that's more than the people in Highland Park, Illinois can say today. I don't know what the answer is. Well, I do. I know that the answer is not with this iteration of an extreme court. It's no longer supreme, it's extreme. And, well, in the last couple of weeks alone, they basically said, yeah, this kid who was 22, apparently, the shooter, he has every right to carry a gun, whether it be a handgun or an assault rifle, a weapon of war. Sure, he can carry it anywhere. That's what the extreme court says. So all those people who went out to watch this 4th of July parade, they have no rights. So this little incel could climb up on a roof somehow, murder 7 people, injure dozens more, and then just leave. There were police everywhere. Took them hours to get him. We are screwed. I've said many times, and not in any good way. And it's not only, you know, on guns. This extreme court has also, in the last couple of weeks, destroyed parts of the Constitution. Not just Supreme Court precedent from over the last 200 years plus, but things that were written into the Constitution, like Establishment Clause, which I guess no longer exists. We're going to talk about all this today. There's a very, very disturbing article. Well, the article's not disturbing. The topic that it's disgusting. It is disgusting. It's also disgusting. That's disgusting. It's by a friend of the show, Frederick Clarkson, who's been here before, and he'll join us a little later in the hour. And he's got a piece up at Salon.com. And the headline reads, "He's on a mission from God." And no, it's not about the Blues Brothers, unfortunately. Pennsylvania Republican candidate Doug Mastriano's war with the world. And then it says exclusive. Pennsylvania GOP candidate closely linked to Christian extremists who want, quote, spiritual warfare against America. Aren't you so proud? Oh, yeah. So this, we talked about dominionism and the apostolic movement. Years ago, when Michelle Bachmann was in Congress, because she was one of those crazy religious nuts, this is Christian Sharia law. This is not Christianity proper. This is a perversion of Christianity, which has taken over today's Republican Party. So stick around for that. We'll get there. I have some other things to share with you before we get there. I see John in the chat room says almost everybody was celebrating yesterday. I didn't. I will celebrate when I cast my vote this November to get rid of these wannabe fascists. They're not wannabe anymore. They are, make no mistake, they are fascists. That is what we've come to. That is where we are as a country. So after the shooting, you know, the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, is running for re-election. And he's one of those very wealthy people who, honestly, I don't think billionaires should be able to use their money to run for office. But, you know, that's just me. Hey, Citizens United, you know, anything. Money is speech, don't you know? Ugh. I don't know, but that's what they tell us. So anyway, so J.B. Pritzker got up, made a speech. His speech was a lot more, what's the word? Emotional, perhaps, than Joe Biden's. Who I don't, he's sleepwalking. But here's a little bit of what, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but a couple of clips from Governor Pritzker of Illinois.
"It is devastating that a celebration of America was ripped apart by our uniquely American plague. A day dedicated to freedom has put into stark relief the one freedom we as a nation refuse to uphold, yeah. The freedom of our fellow citizens to live without the daily fear of gun violence."
Hello. To live without the daily fear of gun violence. You know, why is that not part of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Because I think it falls under that heading. But he continued.
"Our founders carried muskets,
that
not
they did.
Assault weapons.
No.
And I don't think a single one of them would have said that you have a constitutional right to an assault weapon with a high-capacity magazine. or that that is more important than the right of the people who attended this parade today to live.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm angry.
Yeah.
We as a nation deserve better.
You think?
A little while ago, I spoke with President Biden, who pledged all support the White House can provide.
Yeah.
The president agrees with me. This madness must stop.
Yeah, too bad that nothing's being done to stop it. So that's Governor J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, who's up for re-election. His Republican opponent is a guy named Dan Bailey. And Dan Bailey, yesterday, when this was happening in Highland Park, Illinois, was some miles south, I believe, in a town called Skokie. Skokie. I had a friend from Skokie. Skokie was famous for a Klan march because it's a Jewish area. Yeah, Skokie. So that's where this guy, Dan Bailey, went to. Now, I apologize for the audio quality of this clip I'm about to share. It's not mine. This was all I could find. But rather than the scratchy quality of the audio of the recording, listen to the lack of quality in what this man was saying. What? Nazis. That Nazis, not Klan, in Skokie. Yeah, I knew it was something like that. You know, they're interchangeable in my book. Okay, so listen to what Dan Bailey, the Republican nominee running against Pritzker for governor of Illinois, what he had to say.
Beautiful community of Skokie, getting ready for the Independence Day parade, and it was canceled. Unfortunately, about 20 minutes away from here in Highland Park,
can you hear?
There was a shooting. There were several people that we know have been shot. That's all we know. And we're just going to take a moment and pray for the families.
Friends, what?
Pray for the law enforcement and even the organizers of this parade. They've done an amazing job. There's a lot of confusion and frustration that the parade's being canceled, but they did the right thing because people's safety has got to come first.
What?
The shooter is still at large, so let's pray for justice to prevail. And then let's move on and let's celebrate.
Wait. Okay. So he said the shooter is still at large, so let's pray for justice to prevail, and then let's move on and let's celebrate? I know the volume is low on his audio and it's scratchy, but that's what he said. Let me back it up again so you can hear that again.
People's safety has got to come first. The shooter is still at large, so let's pray for justice to prevail.
What?
And then let's move on and let's celebrate celebrate the independence of this nation. We know the mission. We have got to get corruption out of our government.
Oh, really?
We have got to elect men and women of honor and of courage to get this country and this state back on track. So,
Now,
if you would join
okay.
me in prayer. For
no,
the
I would not join you in prayer, you heathen piece of shit. Let's celebrate? He just said, let's celebrate. I'd be shocked, but I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked because this is who they are. So with that in mind, I want to play for you an ad that ran here in Florida yesterday, the 4th of July, a state that has a gubernatorial election. We have a guy who, has the title of governor. He thinks his title is supreme leader, but it's governor, unfortunately. And for some reason, he's enjoying, not here in Florida, but nationally, enjoying good poll marks. He's not liked here. The man is a fascist, not in training, not a wannabe fascist. He is a fascist. I'm assembling a list of stories about whatever you want to call him. Ron DeSantis, moron death sentence, the man of Satan, because isn't that what DeSantis stands for? Isn't that what it means? Isn't my book. Anyway, so what's happening is out in California, Governor Gavin Newsom, who is also running for re-election, who survived a recall last year, Now, he's not running in Florida, but, you know, he's a shoo-in to win in California. So I guess when he's running campaign ads, he doesn't have to limit them to California. He can run them pretty much anywhere because he's got that flexibility, as it were, right? So you've probably seen this already, too. But, hey, I'm here in Florida, and I say that the Democrats can use all the help they can get because DeSantis is he's outraised the two so-called Democrats who are running. The Florida Democrats just seem to have nothing going on. So what could Gavin Newsom possibly have to say to Floridians? Well, hold on. I need to just fix this, the image, because I'm going to play the video of the ad as much as I can. All right, so here's the ad he's running.
It's Independence Day, so let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom, it's under attack in your state. Your Republican leaders, they're banning books, making it harder to vote, restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women and doctors. I urge all of you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we still believe in freedom. Freedom of speech. Freedom to choose. Oh. Freedom from hate. And the freedom to love. Don't let them take your freedom.
Paid for by Newsom for California Governor 2022.
Newsom for California Governor 2022. And maybe with an eye towards 2024. Look, I know Howie Klein's not a big fan. But from where I'm sitting, I'll take Gavin Newsom. I'll take Gavin Newsom to be Florida Governor from California, because it certainly couldn't get any worse than what we've got going on right now. Seriously. I say, you know, Nikki Fried issued some half-assed, ridiculous statement like, thanks, but no thanks. No, Nikki, we need the help, because the Florida Democratic Party is absent. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're doing. They're just not working hard, that's for sure. They are not doing what needs to be done to win this state back. So here's where we are. The primary here in Florida is not till next month. I think it's August 23rd or thereabouts. Hold on, I'm looking in my calendar. Yep. August 23rd, the same day that the New York congressional primary is going to be held because they were rescheduled. So August 23rd. But we have two candidates left running for governor. Annette Tadeo dropped out. She's now running for Congress. I hope she wins. But we have Charlie Crist and Nikki Fried. Charlie Crist was a Republican when he was governor before. And he's, you know, and Nikki Fried is the only Democrat in the state executive branch right now. She's agriculture commissioner, which is a executive branch level position, a cabinet level position in Florida. How she got in, I'm not really sure. But I read a story over the weekend that Nikki, with her holier than thou attitude, made a lot of contributions to Republicans. Yeah. So hold on one second. Let's see. Hate to disappoint you, but here's what Santas means. The name Santas. Oh, the name Santas is a nickname type of a surname for a person who was born on All Saints Day. Well, thank you, Charlene, but I'll take my language interpretation because he is of Satan. Yeah, you know, hey, if they can pervert religion the way they have, I can pervert it the way I want to. And he is of Satan. Yeah, let's see. It's hard to believe he was once married to. Oh, yeah, Gavin Newsom was once married to Kimberly Guilfoyle. I'll tell you something. I'd like to interview him and ask him why. Why possibly? Why? What? Why? What could he have possibly seen in that person? Anyway. What else? I've got I've got all these other things, and someone's sending me messages. Who's this from now? I don't even know. I should mute my phone when I'm on the air. All right. So anyway, let's see. All right. I'm jumping around a little bit, but sorry. I'm a little scattered between the shooting, between our freedoms being erased, between everything else, and waiting now for the next round of January 6th hearings to come. Today we got more insight into these good Christian folks who are following the former guy into insurrection, right? Adam Kinzinger, who is one of two Republicans on the committee, released a compilation of voicemails left in his office in the last few days. And he made sure he posted it on a video, but they're only audio. So I'm just going to play the audio for you. I should play my disclaimer again. The following contains graphic language. So if you are offended easily by words that can't physically hurt you, but words nonetheless, you may want to turn down the volume for 3 minutes, because that's how long this video, the audio runs that Adam Kinzinger posted online of calls made to his office. And he pointed out that there are usually interns who take the messages off the voicemail, meaning high school and college students. So this is a sample of some of the phone messages that Adam Kinzinger got from people in his party. He's still a Republican. People who call themselves good Christians. Here's what they had to say.
I guess I can't say a whole lot more other than I'll hope you naturally die as quickly as fucking possible.
Sounds Christian to me.
Piece of shit.
Nice.
You backstabbing son of a bitch.
Nice.
Go against Trump. Y'all know y'all motherfuckers are sitting up there alive like a damn dog.
Hey, you little cocksucker.
This person seems to have called in a few times.
In front of your house this weekend.
Oh, nice.
You know who your family is, and we're going to get you, little cocksucker.
Wow.
You cocksucking little bastard.
This man seems really preoccupied with cocksucking.
Son of a bitch. You gave $200 to that black bastard that killed Ashley
black
Babbitt.
Black bastard. Ooh,
I hope
who killed
somebody
Ashley
like
Babbitt.
Him kills your nasty mom.
Wow.
Or your nasty wife.
Wow.
It's not a threat. It's a hope.
Wow.
Of the Lord God Almighty come upon you.
The Lord
your
God
health,
Almighty?
Your family, your home.
Really?
Your livelihood.
Hold
and,
on.
And I pray, if it be God's will.
If it be God's
that
will?
That you suffer.
That you suffer. These are good Christian folk, I guess. I guess that's why I don't go near churches. Really? These people, in the name of God, are wishing death and suffering on him and his family. Nice Christian values.
You cocksucking little bastard. We're
this,
gonna
here's
get
the
you.
Cocksucking guy again. We know what he's obsessed with.
Gonna get you, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
You little cocksucking bastard.
You're obsessed
you're
with the cocksucking.
You're the biggest piece of shit politician in the world. Why don't you just fucking leave and go away and shut your fucking mouth, you piece of shit. Fuck you. You're a horrible, horrible, garbage fucking person. Fuck you, Americans are garbage.
You knew that this threat that you got is nothing but a fraud. You did it, or...
You're going to swing for fucking treason, you communist fuck.
You little cocksucker.
Oh, here he is again.
Are you left?
I think it's the same guy.
Fag-hag?
Wow.
You two cocksucking little bitches. We're going to get you.
And it goes on
coming
and on
house,
and
son.
On. Come into your house,
gonna
son.
Gonna get you and Liz Cheney.
Really?
Gonna get you two little cocksuckers. Ha, 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 ha.
Kinzinger, I'm so glad you're leaving because you're a piece of shit. And there's my fucking message for you. You're a fucking Democratic operative.
Wow.
And a fucking Obama dick suck.
Wow.
Fuck you.
Nice.
And on. Fuck everything about you, you motherfucking asshole.
Wow.
Fuck you, you lousy Marxist traitor. You Pelosi cuck. You and Liz Cheney can both go to hell.
Wow.
Fuck you, you big baby.
He seems nice.
You rotten pile of dog shit. Fuck you, you asshole.
Okay.
Fuck you.
Hey.
I hope you get terminal cancer, you motherfucking pig.
Wow.
Fuck you, you pig.
Wow.
Asshole.
Wow. Are they done yet? I guess they're done now. You know what? All those calls to congressional offices, they have caller ID. I would think making a call like that to a sitting congressman saying, I know where you live. I'm coming to your house this weekend. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get your wife. I'm going to get your kids. I would think that would be actionable. Couldn't that person be arrested for threatening a public official? Should be. I know, hate to tell you, when you call here, I got caller ID. That's how I caught the stalker asshole guy in New Mexico who still calls. But I know who he is. I know where he works. I know his name. I know his phone numbers. And he doesn't scare me anymore because I know who he is. So, you know, again, we have a party, the Democratic Party, who doesn't seem to take any of this stuff seriously. Put the motherfuckers in jail. They threaten a public official. Arrest them. Okay, I wasn't going to take calls today, but I left the pot up. So, San Diego area. Hi, who's this?
It's Vivian Mulder. I just want to say at first, I'm sorry about what happened with the victims in Uvalde and the shootings that happened on 4th of July. That was a tragedy. And I think that it's a horrible thing that happened. It should never happen. If you need people in this country, the problem with why there's so many gun shootings is mental health.
Oh,
but
stop it. You know what? There's really something wrong with you. This is the 18-year-old, he's probably 19 now, kid in San Diego who listens to the show religiously. His mother's a fan. This kid's got to be such a disappointment. I don't know his name because he always gives me a fake name. And he's a Republican. Your mother has to be so ashamed of you. I really feel sorry for her. I don't feel sorry for you because you're just an idiot.
Problems. We have a bad mental health system.
Oh, you have bad mental health. Go away. This kid is so brainwashed by watching Fox. We do have mental health crisis. You know why it's so bad and out of control? Because Ronald Reagan shut down all the state hospitals and sent everyone out into the streets.
Okay, that's the problem. I should also mention for legal reasons I'm recording my side of the call.
Excuse me?
I should mention for legal reasons I'm recording my side of the call.
What is wrong with you? You know, your mother is a really good person. How did you turn out so fucked up? Now he hangs up. I could call him back, but honestly, I don't want to. So again, this is this 18-year-old kid. His mother, I adore. She calls in. Look, I give her all the credit in the world that she hasn't thrown his ass out on the street. Because if he was my kid, he wouldn't be living under my roof. Hell no. So, yeah. So he's echoing the Fox talking points. It's a mental health problem. Yeah, we have a mental health problem in this country. And if we had Medicare for all and everyone could get the health services they need when they need them, we wouldn't have so much of a problem. And also, if, former God in heaven, Ronald Reagan, hadn't emptied out all of the mental hospitals in the country and shut them down and let all the mental patients out on the street, so that makes up a good part of our homeless population, we wouldn't be in this predicament right now. But because the Republican Party has no feelings of taking care of the people who need help the most among us? We don't. We see people who have mental health issues and we say, good luck, sucker. Sorry, your insurance doesn't cover that. You want to see a what? A mental health counselor? Yeah, good luck with that. Oh my God. Oh my God. So, yeah, that's what we got right now. All right. So any minute now, we should be joined by our guest. Let me share with you a little bit, a few excerpts from this article that he has at Salon.com. And, and he's there. So let me bring him in and we can just go from there. So let me tell you who is coming up. Hopefully he'll be joining us in just a second. So Frederick Clarkson is joining us. He is he's with Public. Sorry, you know what, Fred? I'm just going to bring you in and let you tell us because I'm all over the place. My gremlins are back in the studio today and I'm trying to keep everything together. But let me bring you in and then I'll fix our picture. Hi, Fred Clarkson. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. Not too discombobulated.
Oh, good. I'm discombobulated enough for both of us. So I'm going to fix our audio here. And so I was starting to tell people, I'm all over the place today between the shooting and the, you know, the craziness here in my state with this fascist dictator, you know, wannabe leader, DeSantis, who's just frightening in every respect. I'm a little thrown off course. But I'm reading your piece that's in Salon.com. The title reads, "He's on a Mission from God, Pennsylvania GOP candidate Doug Mastriano's War with the World." And then it says, "Exclusive, Pennsylvania GOP candidate closely linked to Christian extremists who want spiritual warfare against America." Now, Fred, you've been writing about these extreme religious groups forever, it seems. This is your area of expertise, yes?
Oh, it seems like forever. And by the way, I'm Frederick Clarkson. I'm a senior research analyst at Political Research Associates.
Political Research Associates.
And we're a social justice research and strategy center in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Thank you very much.
For about 4 years researching these kinds of folks.
Okay. And you can find politicalresearch.org is the URL. I've got it linked, I think, on the Chiron there. I'll put it in the blog so people can check out your work over there. You're senior research analyst at Political Research Associates. Sorry. Again, weird day. So we've spoken many times over the years about these movements. We've spoken about dominionism and about the new apostolic reformation. And is there any difference between the two?
Well, there are different flavors of dominionism, let's say. I mean, the seven mountains are the seven areas of society that you're supposed to conquer in order to achieve Christian dominion. That their dominionism is a specific kind of theology that can apply to others as well. Similar ideas, the gradual imposition of biblical law as they understand it throughout society and throughout the world. So, they're like with any other ism, you know, liberalism, conservatism, there's varieties of dominionism, but the basic idea is conservative Christian control of all aspects of society.
And it seems that this brand of Christianity, because they consider themselves Christian, has taken over the Republican Party. And maybe not only the Republican Party, but maybe all of right-wing America. I mean, what about the evangelical movement? They were never of this, like the Jerry Falwell, were they? Were they from this ilk?
Oh, not at all. Jerry Falwell was an old-time Baptist fundamentalist,
right?
That wanted nothing to do with this kind of stuff.
That's what I thought.
In those days, Pentecostalism, the idea of gifts of the Spirit, like praying in tongues and praying with your hands raised, those are ubiquitous now. But in old school fundamentalism, those were heresies, dangerous practices. But Pentecostalism generally has become mainstreamed. But Pentecostalism itself was not political. You know, they used to be specifically apolitical for, you know, since at least the Scopes trials. But with the theology of dominionism, Pentecostalism has transformed into this fierce religious political force that is now at the center of certainly the Republican Party and has branches out into the Democrats as well from time to time.
Ooh, that's right. And are they the ones who are behind, say, the family that Jeff Charlotte wrote about so beautifully in the books that became a Netflix show, the ones behind the National Prayer Breakfast? or is there a line there somewhere?
There are lines, let's just say there are overlaps, right?
There are overlaps.
There's different parts of conservative Christianity, there's lots of ebbs and flows, you know, certainly with Catholicism as well, and even with elements of mainline Protestantism. Christianity is not a static thing. It never has been, and it's never been one thing. It's always been many things.
Okay, so do I don't even know what to call them. The former conservative Christians go along with this, or is there a faction in there that's fighting against it? Because what I see is a real perversion of Christianity, says the atheist Jew, much like, you know, the ISIS is a perversion of Islam. Does that make sense?
Yes, there are many conservative Christians who see it your way, but there are also a lot of them just have to go along to get along, let's say. It's like with any faction in public life, the people who gain some measure of dominance and power in society, you have to find a way to accommodate them. And anybody who remembers the famous pictures of Donald Trump in the Oval Office with various pastors laying hands on him,
yeah,
all around him, most of those were New Apostolic Reformation people. Those are like core constituency people for Donald Trump. They brought him to power. They were with him in the White House. His spiritual advisor, Paula White, is an NAR apostle. You know, that's real power. That's real influence. And anybody who's in the Republican Party has to deal with it, often awkwardly, and to come out against it, you know, puts them against Donald Trump.
Wow. You know, I think we probably first spoke about this faction of Christianity maybe 10 years ago. Michelle Bachmann was a practitioner, and you know, she was nuts. But now this is, it seems like the mainstream of Christianity, at least when it comes to government. And you mentioned the seven mountains. And
yes,
I've got this graphic here, and it shows this is their, you know, this is what they want to reclaim, the seven mountains of government, right? They want to take over business, government, family, religion, media, education, and entertainment. So
yes,
that is in their teachings. Now, that's not so different from the Mormon church, if I understand correctly, because they also had a directive to install their members in the highest levels of government, did they not?
That I can't speak
okay
to, but it wouldn't surprise me. You know, many religious factions throughout history, you know, seek influence in society. They can be liberal, they can be conservative, they can be whatever, because that's an expression, or more than expression, you know, it's acting upon their religious beliefs. And in a pluralist democracy, we favor that. We think that's a good thing. You know, that's the marketplace of ideas. But, you know, where we get into trouble, right, is one is if these things are stealth, as they often are. But also we experience what one Dominionist strategist named Gary North calls the dilemma of democratic pluralism. And you and I and other pluralist-oriented people live the dilemma every day. And the dilemma is this: how, as people committed to the values of democratic pluralism, the philosophy, how can we tolerate people who are opposed to that philosophy and even publicly committed to its destruction? And how do you deal with that? How do you tolerate it? Or do you contend with it? Do you ban them? Do you jail them? You know, what crosses legal and philosophical lines that we just can't deal with? More than any time in, you know, modern history, and, you know, we have to address the dilemma, or we're not going to survive as a democracy.
Right. And, you know, many of us thought that, you know, they can make all the noises they want, they can do all this stuff. It's in the Constitution, and it's not, you know, it's right there in the First Amendment, right? Except
sure,
in recent days, we've seen this very extreme court, as I now call them, they're no longer supreme, they're now extreme, not just undo precedent from the last 50 years, which they did, but the foundations of the First Amendment. First Amendment has two provisions concerning religion. the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. And in two rulings they made over the last couple of weeks, they seem to have undone both of them, right? With one ruling was about religious schools in Maine, that if there's no, and I'm oversimplifying here, and tell me if I get anything wrong, but if there's no public, say, middle school in your district in Maine, out in rural Maine, then the state will pay for your child to go to even a church school, a religious school, which that was never, that was not allowed. That's just not okay to spend public dollars on religious teachings. That's one. Then the second was this high school football coach who made a practice of, after the game, bringing his team out to the 50-yard line for a team prayer, not, you know, a prayer, an actual religious prayer. And he was warned over and over again by the school district, don't do that. And he did it anyway. And the court ruled in his favor. So they're basically saying no separation of church and state. And oh, by the way, your freedom of religion or from religion? Nah, forget about that. That's what they said, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. And in the case of the football coach, they had to actually adjust the facts in order to justify the opinion, because in fact, you know, they were saying, well, it was just, you know, him expressing himself, his free exercise of religion. But in fact, you know, he made everybody kneel in prayer with him standing over them and leading them in prayer. You know, it was using the power and the authority of a public employee, you know, called a football coach, to bend, if not coerce, you know, young people towards in religious direction. So that's a misuse of the power of the state by any reasonable standard. But you know, the Supreme Court wanted that outcome, and so they changed the facts in order to justify the outcome. It's one of the more remarkable things I've ever seen a Supreme Court do.
You and me both. So now, going back to this article that you have now in Salon.com, it was published yesterday, you center in on one of the more colorful, I'm trying to be nice here, candidates for higher office. And this is in a year when there are many of them whose motivations, I think, need to be questioned. And this time we're talking about Doug Mastriano, who is the Republican nominee running for governor of Pennsylvania. He is a Dominionist. He is a member. He is, in every sense of the word, one of these religious extremists. Would I be off base calling this a follower of Christian Sharia law?
Doug, you have to be careful with Doug Mastriano. He, like many politicians, is cagey about his religion.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
He doesn't come out and say very much about the things that we're talking about. At one point in the article, though, he sort of tips his hand. And that's the part where he's talking to an interviewer about how the things that, that God wants to have happen, right? And he's referring to events in Old Testament Israel, you know, are things that people have to carry out. And then what's scary about that is like, well, okay, you know, what's unusual about that in religion? You know, unless God is directly intervening in human events, people have to carry out God's will. No surprise there at all. But what's remarkable in this case is that he uses the biblical analogy of Queen Esther, who advocated for Jewish people in Babylon, I believe, and uncovered a plot. And she got the permission of the king to go out and kill all of the enemies of the Jews. Right.
Okay.
That's one of his role models. The other is Gideon, who God had raised up an army of 300 people to take on an army of 100,000, and he still won because God was on his side. God wasn't going to take out the enemy all by himself. He was going to require outnumbered, outmatched, you know, human beings to slay the opposition. These are the people, biblical people, he refers to as biblical models for contemporary Christians. And this is a theme throughout the people around him in Pennsylvania and around the country. We heard it, and most disturbingly, we heard it at places like the Jericho March preceded the January 6th, the idea of taking these biblical stories, these metaphors, and actualizing them in real time and real circumstances. And a lot of people are taking this very seriously, and that's the concern, because those are the people who are deeply involved in Mastriano's campaign.
Right. So they're taking it seriously on his side. They think he's sent from God. Now, is the other side taking it seriously? Because I find this horribly frightening.
I think people don't know what to make of it. I think for the most part, people to the left of the Christian right don't know very much about this stuff. I saw an article in Politico not long ago where a major Democratic consultant, and a major Republican consultant didn't know what to make of Mastriano and his success.
Oh my God.
They were trying to explain how come he's within 4 points of the Democratic contender in the polls. They thought he would be the weakest candidate in the field. Not so. So the Democratic consultant, or one of them, I forget which one calls him nuts, and the other calls Mastriano a cultist on the order of Jim Jones. Now, that's pathetic name calling.
Yeah.
It reveals their desperation and their ignorance, and it's time for that stuff to stop.
In fact, you write about Mastriano. You wrote, his core support is a fusion of QAnon, the far-right patriot movement, and the revivalist New Apostolic Reformation, which views him as a military and political leader in advancing the biblically prophesied end times.
Yes.
So this is their goal, to bring about the end times, which that means the end of everybody, right? So that's frightening in and of itself. But he, in embracing this sect of Christianity, goes by the Old Testament. Now, again, my religious training comes from watching the Ten Commandments on television around Easter time. I'm a, atheist Jew. But the Old Testament, that was the Jews' Bible, right? The Christians go by the New Testament, but he seems to be picking and choosing what, and the Old Testament is a lot more violent and, fire and brimstone than the New Testament, isn't it?
Yeah, it's generally referred to as the Hebrew Bible, and yes, that's true. There's stories of warriors, of ancient times. But the New Testament, most of it's, be good to your neighbor kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, the book of Revelations is full of all kinds of terrible violence and apocalyptic, elimination of the enemy in the end times. So folks like this tend to link, what God's people were doing in the Old Testament with what they expect God's people to be doing in the time of Revelation and in the end times. And all in the name of Jesus, of course, who they're sort of folding him into that picture. So it's more theologically complicated than that, of course, and I apologize to those who are theologically sophisticated in these things, but you're hitting on the right thing, Nicole, because the emphasis on Old Testament individuals and events becomes the model for thinking about contemporary politics and what good Christians should be doing.
It's amazing. And you talk about the, the Shofar Brigade? I don't know, the people. The Shofar is like a hollowed out ram's horn. I remember that from when I was a kid and the handful of times we went to temple on the high holidays and they blow the Shofar, which
yes.
is on Yom Kippur, I believe. Maybe it's Rosh Hashanah. I'm not good at this stuff.
A couple of high holidays. Yeah.
Right, those things. But uh-huh. So it has no service in the Christian church, I don't think, except they're using it for a perversion of Christianity. What are they doing with this? They're going around blowing the ram's horn and claiming what?
It's a from this wing of a fusion, sort of what we used to call Jews for Jesus.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
the Messianic
yeah,
Jews,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
also charismatic Christians who have come to embrace this kind of Jewish identity as though this kind of Christianity is the true Israel and they're the true Jews. And so they adopt a certain Jewish ritual clothing, like the prayer shawl.
Right.
But most significantly, and that's what I focused on in this story, the shofar, because what do they think they're doing with this? And you hear different people give different explanations, but historically, it was used as a battle horn to warn people that the enemy was coming.
Okay.
It was also used just to alert the community to something. In the way that these folks are using it, it's certainly a call to battle, but it's literally, in the part of many, imagining that it's generally the breath of God who is slaying or casting out demons, because what they see themselves is there's a two front war. One is in what they call the heavenlies, and there's always a battle going on between Satan's forces and the demons and angelic hosts. And some of that is manifested, in temporal terms of human things. But as we enter this end times period, as they believe that they are, the angelic element, the heavenly element, will be fused with Christians of the right sort to wage supernatural battle to the end.
Oh my God! And this is what they want. They want to bring this about because they think that'll bring them to their final.
They are joyous when they talk about it.
Oh my God! Now, okay, so this whole thing is going on now. Donald Trump is probably as much of an atheist as I am. I don't believe he's ever read the Bible. He was as believable talking about 2 Corinthians as I would be. But for some reason, these people are embracing him and they think he's from God as well, right? So then I'm reading your article and we find out these events that Doug Mastriano was involved in. But then you say there was another, a tour, the Reawaken America tour led by Michael Flynn. There have been 15 such conferences since April of last year, drawing thousands of people to each event. They're headlined by figures such as Roger Stone, Janet Ellis, and Eric Trump, along with anti-vax and anti-mask presentations and, of course, endless propaganda about alleged election fraud. This is a coming together of this religious perversion and political perversion.
That's right. They've been systematically stitching together these factions in sort of a common conspiracist view in which their whatever our emphases, whether it's vaccinations or public closings or whatever it might be that gets people whipped up, it's all part of a larger conspiracy of evil against the advance of Christianity.
And now there are preachers. I don't know what they're called. Are they priests? I don't know. Preachers who from the pulpit are preaching this stuff. They're talking politics. They're talking about all of these things that have, overlapped. And they have tax-exempt status because they're not supposed to talk about politics from the pulpit. And again, I ask, are the Democrats, is anybody doing anything about this?
Well, on the tax-exempt issue, I mean, you can talk about politics and issues from the pulpit. Although there's some parameters on it, the main issue is you can neither advocate for or oppose candidates for public office using church resources,
which they do all the time.
Which they do. Part of the strategy is to stretch and break the boundaries. The Alliance Defending Freedom has a special Sunday where they encourage political preachers to do just that, to try to force a test case in the courts. And the IRS isn't biting, and so the abuses continue. So there's that's going on. But
and with this court, is there any reason to think the court would uphold their tax exempt or would do away with their tax exempt status?
They might, but I think it's a tricky thing. And without getting too far down in the weeds on this point, and that is, those of us who favor religious freedom and separation of church and state and pluralism would also hold to the view that we don't want the government defining what religion is and what it isn't, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this is the awkward place that we've sort of stuck it off in a corner with the IRS. Okay, you guys figure it out. You're in charge of figuring out what's a religious organization for purposes of federal tax exemption. And they're in a very awkward spot. I mean, they're government personnel. Their hearts are in the right places. They're doing their jobs well, I'm sure. They're not evil bureaucrats. They're just our society, our democracy, all of us as responsible for placing this vital philosophical cornerstone of democracy in the hands of people working in obscure offices, doing an impossible task. You know, the privilege of federal tax exemption, fine, you could be for it or against it, but it needs to be applied evenly and the rules enforced fairly. Right now, they're not being enforced.
Right, right, not at all. And we have, these religious figures openly endorsing Donald Trump, for instance.
Well, which they can do as long as they're not using church resources to do it. You know, I, Pastor Fred, can go out and endorse anybody I want as an individual.
Yeah, but to do it from the pulpit of your church?
That's against the rules.
Right.
And, you know, can potentially cause your tax exempt status. To my knowledge, there's only been one church who has ever lost its tax status because of this kind of stuff. I mean, there have been some that have been, there have plenty of warnings, investigations, warnings, slap on the wrist, naughty, naughty, don't do that again kind of stuff. Occasionally people have, you know, maybe lost their tax exemption for a certain year because they strayed too far. But
right.
Only one church ever.
Wow. Now, is there an organization of responsible churches who would warn their people, like, this is not Christianity. This is not what we teach. This is not what Jesus taught at all. Can they get together? Reverend Barber, can he, you know, can we spread his word over this perverted word?
Well, the good news is that there's actually such a coalition called Christians Against Christian Nationalism.
Ah, okay.
And people just Google that. And it's a lot of major Baptist leaders and progressive evangelicals and mainline Protestant leaders got together, and they put a really terrific joint statement. And they've had all kinds of educational activities. If you visit Christians Against Christian Nationalism, you're going to find most of what you're looking for.
Okay, I will check them out, because this is crisis mode. I mean, they've obviously. They've infiltrated the Supreme Court, the executive branch, Congress, and I feel like not enough has been done to protect the rest of us against this. I keep using the word perversion. I would say religious zealotry, but there are religious zealots in traditional religion. This is above and beyond. This is extremism, isn't it?
Well, sure. I mean, these people, you know, this faction of American Christianity and world Christianity, I might add, you know, doesn't believe in the legitimacy of the Christianity of Christians who don't believe like them, and certainly people who don't believe like are not Christians at all, because they believe in taking the seven mountains of society.
Right.
Those are the folks who are supposed to be in control. It's their obligation to do it, which means at best second-class citizenship for the rest of us, and perhaps, depending on who gets power or the nature of the conflict, absolute genocide and elimination.
And it seems like that's where we're at.
If those folks take themselves seriously, and I believe that they do, not all of them are crazed, you know, gun-wielding fanatics, but if they take their theology seriously, and I think we should, it means that they fully expect there to be conflict and tension and physical warfare, you know, in this time. You know, how fast and under what circumstances, you know, who knows? But you cannot listen to these folks for very long, watch as many videos and read as many books as I have, and not see that they're dead serious, and we need to be taking them much more seriously than we do.
Without a doubt. So other than Frederick Clarkson, you writing these articles and me sharing them and hoping to get the word out, what else can we do? What else should we be doing right now?
Well, in the case of Pennsylvania, one thing we need to know is that Mastriano is not running a conventional campaign. You can't see any of his events on his websites.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
He's waging a quasi-stealth campaign. However, there's a Doug Mastriano for Governor Facebook page for every county in the state.
Wow.
And so that's where you can find out what's going on. That's where there are going to be events announced. People should be looking for Mastriano's Facebook pages in order to monitor what's going on. Then you get a measure of what's happening. Now, I do know of an upcoming training that the Mastriano campaign is doing. Forgive me, I don't remember which county. It's in the east.
Okay.
And it's going to be a full day affair where they're inviting pastors and representatives of churches. I think it's 2 days actually to come to get trained in what in the do's and don'ts of the very things you and I were talking about, Nicole.
Wow.
What can churches do legally to help Mastriano's candidacy? And, you know, I'm sure they're being trained correctly.
Right.
Right. If you're going to go to the trouble of training people for 2 days, you might as well get the rules right. So it seems to me that that churches are the absolute base of his campaign, and that they're going into churches that most politicians have never even heard of, and people who feel neglected by society and noses turned against them, and they're full of resentment. And Mastriano is very good at identifying and tapping that resentment. So I'm certain that what we're seeing is activity in many, many churches, not just on Sundays, all across the state. And that is the key base for Mastriano. To recognize that is the first thing to coming up with a reasonable response and a reasonable strategy, right? He's doing what the Christian right has talked about doing and did do for many years, but mostly it was with outside organizations, the Christian Coalition, the Family Research Council. But this time, it's the campaign itself. It's taken all the lessons learned from these Christian right groups over the past couple of decades and says, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to rely on somebody else. We're going to do it. And that's a historic change in the way that campaigns are done. So for Democratic strategists and others, you got to see that and you got to adapt and you got to know what people like me are talking about.
Absolutely. So I will post this article on the blog at NicoleSandler.com/7-5-22. You share it, read it, and share it. We got to make sure everybody knows what's going on, because the truth is our best defense against all the bullshit they're slinging at us. Frederick Clarkson, thank you so much. Again, people can find you at politicalresearch.org, on the Twitters at Fred Clarkson. I'll put links to all that on the blog as well. Thank you so much. Thank you for writing this and letting people know how important it is. I'm afraid so many people were taken by surprise by, you know, the Supreme Court and what they did. Some of us knew this was coming because we pay attention. People need to pay attention because what's happening in this nation now is frightening.
Well, we do. And, you know, one last, you know, word of that. The good news is that it's not too late. And the thing I always tell people, you know, is that there's a lot more of us in the broadest sense than there are of them.
If we vote.
We need to act like it. And we need to learn how to mobilize that majority to save democracy.
Fred, thank you so much. This is a really important issue and more important now than ever before. Because, you know, they want to bring about the end times. They get Donald Trump back in office. I'm amazed we made it through those 4 years without him, you know, hitting the nukes. I don't think that will happen again. If he gets in office again, I think they're going to get their wish. So we can't let that happen.
Indeed.
Thanks, Fred. Take
Thank
care.
Thank you, Nicole.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. With that, we've reached the end of the hour and then some. Yeah, this is serious stuff. So read this article, share it with everyone you know, make sure people understand what's going on. And all you have to do is show them what the Supreme Court's done in the last few weeks. David told the story. He was he does the grocery shopping, and he was in the vegetable department at Trader Joe's, and he got an education on peppers. There are male peppers and female peppers, just in case you're wondering. And I wish I could remember. I don't, David, if you're nearby and can hear me and can come in and tell the story because you're better at it than I am. He was being helped by a female associate in the produce department. And they said something about the male peppers and the female peppers. And he said, yeah, I know the female peppers are the ones that don't have their rights anymore. And the woman had no idea what he was talking about. And so he had to tell her what the Supreme Court has done over the last few weeks. And she said, oh, I guess I need to start paying attention to the news. I'm always with my grandchildren. We need to make sure people pay attention and know what's going on. Because what's happening to this country is will bring about the end of this country. All right. With that, we're done. I'm going to leave you with the news. And yeah, I have no idea what we're doing tomorrow, but yeah, something. We'll see what the day brings. I'm always afraid to say that, but, you know, we will. Oh, now you're here. All right. You want to tell me about the produce lady? Because your line was better than mine. What did you say to her?
I said, she asked me, do you know the difference between male peppers and female peppers? I said, yeah, female peppers are the ones that don't have rights anymore after the Supreme Court ruling this week. And she said, what do you mean? And I had to explain it to her. Mm. But she left out the most important part.
Which was?
When she told me I looked great.
Oh, you look great cause for your age.
No, she didn't say that. She did not say for your age. She said, you look great.
Okay, you look great. Yeah, he looks great for his age. He looks great even for, you know, 10 years younger. All right. With that, I'll leave you with the news. Thanks for listening, everyone. Oy, here we go again.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, it was probably an accurate representation of life in the U.S. in the year that the Supreme Court took away our freedom to be safe at a 4th of July parade. A day that used to be a national celebration turned to tragedy on Monday when a gunman killed at least six people and injured dozens more in a shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, during a 4th of July parade. The suspected 22-year-old gunman is believed to have fired from a rooftop in an attack that police said appeared to be random and intentional. A high-powered rifle was recovered from the scene and the suspect was taken into custody later in the day. Highland Park is about 25 miles north of Chicago. The 22-year-old suspect, according to NBC News, quote, left a long trail of tributes to mass shootings and public killings on social media. Lovely. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker spoke out.
It is devastating that a celebration of America was ripped apart by our uniquely American plague. A day dedicated to freedom has put into stark relief the one freedom we as a nation refuse to uphold, the freedom of our fellow citizens to live without the daily fear of gun violence. Our founders carried muskets, not assault weapons. And I don't think a single one of them would have said that you have a constitutional right to an assault weapon with a high-capacity magazine. Or that is more important than the right of the people who attended this parade today to live. Yes, I'm angry. We as a nation deserve better.
His Republican opponent, a man named Darren Bailey, was scheduled to march with supporters in a 4th of July parade in Skokie, Illinois, until it was canceled, and showed how tone-deaf he is.
About 20 minutes away from here in Highland Park, there was a shooting. There were several people that we know have been shot. That's all we know. And we're just going to take a moment and pray for the families, pray for the law enforcement, and even the organizers of this parade. They've done an amazing job. There's a lot of confusion and frustration that the parade's being canceled, but they did the right thing because people's safety has got to come first. The shooter is still at large, so let's pray for justice to prevail. And then let's move on and let's celebrate the independence of this nation.
Move on and celebrate? That's what he said. In the wake of a mass shooting that killed six people and injured dozens others at a 4th of July parade, the Republican nominee for governor said, let's move on and celebrate. In case you were wondering, that cretin is an ardent gun rights supporter who opposes firearm regulations and supports the elimination of the state's gun owner identification card registry. In his prayer, he called on God to heal, quote, the mental illness that is creating these problems. Some self-examination here might help. Oh, he later apologized. In a statement, he said, I apologize if in any way we diminished the pain being felt across our state today. Sure you do. Meanwhile, that wasn't the only shooting this holiday weekend. 9 other people were shot to death in Chicago alone, another 52 wounded, in case you're counting. In Philadelphia, 2 police officers were shot during that city's July 4th fireworks show and free concert. Fortunately, those 2 officers were later released from the hospital. One of them had a bullet lodged in his hat, but he miraculously survived. Meanwhile, police officials in Akron, Ohio, on Sunday, released body cam footage of a June 27th police shooting, the killing of 25-year-old Jayland Walker. According to reports, police attempted to stop the black man for an unspecified traffic violation at around midnight. Jaylen Walker evaded the stop. He led police on a chase before he got out of the car and fled on foot. The cops then deployed their tasers before they opened fire on Walker after they said he appeared to turn around while reaching for his waist. That was the threatening move? The video shows eight officers opening fire and hitting Walker, a black man, 60 times. Now, the police claim that Walker fired once from the vehicle during the chase, but no firearm was found on his body. There was a gun reportedly found in his vehicle, but photographs show the magazine was sitting on the seat next to the gun, which was not loaded. Akron Mayor Dan Horrigan declared a state of emergency, canceling the city's 4th of July fireworks event, while Walker's family has made a number of calls for protests to remain peaceful. But once again, I stress, authorities released the footage from two of the officers' body cameras while confirming that Walker was unarmed at the time he was shot. WNBA star basketball player Brittany Griner, who's been held in a Russian prison for months, sent President Biden a handwritten letter on Monday pleading for his help in getting her released. Part of what she wrote said, quote, "As I sit here in a Russian prison, alone with my thoughts and without the protection of my wife, family, friends, Olympic jersey, or any accomplishments, I feel terrified I might be here forever." She pleaded with President Biden to get her home. Meanwhile, Russian forces captured the key Ukrainian city of Lysychansk, news of which prompted the dictator Putin to declare full victory in Ukraine's eastern Luhansk region. In related news, the UN has reported more than 10,000 civilians have been killed or injured since the war began in February. Officials say the true toll is likely higher. And here at home, a proverbial shot was fired from California to Florida. California Governor Gavin Newsom started airing a TV spot on July 4th on the Fox Not News channel in a direct counter to DeSantis's free state of Florida narrative.
Freedom? It's under attack in your state. Your Republican leaders, they're banning books, making it harder to vote, restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women and doctors. I urge all of you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we still believe in freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom to choose, freedom from hate, and the freedom to love. Don't let them take your freedom.
I say, Governor Newsom, welcome to Florida. Please help us throw the bum out. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.